Welcome to Hope Unveiled, the podcast that guides you on a transformative journey toward a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We are Sunrise Church of Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, and our mission is to carry the hope and purpose of Jesus to those who may feel far from God. In each episode, we'll dive deep into the teachings of Jesus, offering practical insights and guidance for your faith journey. Whether you're taking your first steps in faith or seeking to deepen your existing relationship with Christ, we invite you to join us on this journey to embrace the hope that transforms lives.
All right, you with me this morning? All right, we have been in a series called Values. And we believe this at Sunrise Church, our biblical values that we have shape what is visible in the culture of our church and the way we behave as a church and the way God is calling us to behave. Amen? I talked about at the beginning of this series, you can hold a value and you can practice a value. Two different things. You might hold a value of community in your life and friendship, but then you never reach out to invite someone over to your house. Are you practicing that value? No, you might have a value for connection and family time at supper, but when you bring your phone and you place it on the table, when you have an iPad at the table, are you practicing that value? Not really. You know, when I started going to restaurants a few years ago and all of a sudden I saw that they had these like, you know, mobile ordering services, which you could order right at the table, like down in America, you could order right from the table. There was games for your kids. You didn't have to talk to the server. I was like, No, this is backwards. And I went and I turned the thing around. I'm like, I don't want that for my kids. I want to talk to the server. This could be a God opportunity to encourage the person. We can hold values, but we don't always practice them. So today we're talking about this, a core value for our church, a foundational value of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and relying upon His leading. Are you with me today? We need the Holy Spirit, church. We need the Holy Spirit. And like me, you maybe grew up in a church that was Father, Son, and Holy Scriptures. And you were like the Ephesians in Acts 19. We have not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? There is a Holy Spirit. And He's amazing. This value is so important because we've talked about the other three before this. Living expectantly in faith and generosity. Sending people on mission to share the gospel. And living and ministering beyond ourselves. But church, those three values can only stack up and be built upon relying on the Holy Spirit for His leading and being baptized with His empowerment. We can't live expectantly in faith without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be sent on mission to share the gospel, even to your family and friends, if you don't have the Holy Spirit doing with you. It will be empty. And you can't live beyond yourself and minister beyond yourself without the Holy Spirit. Why? Because what humans want is to serve ourselves by nature. But what the Holy Spirit does is He catalyzes us to go beyond. We need the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of you, this might be a little bit Holy Spirit 101, some of the things we're going to talk about. But one of the things that allows us to posture ourselves to receive from the Holy Spirit is having a good understanding in our head and a good openness in our heart. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The beauty of the Holy Spirit is that He has been active all through the pages of the Bible. Some people say, well, when did the Holy Spirit show up? Genesis 1, verse 2. The Holy Spirit is hovering, brooding over the waters, over the unformed creation. There is the Holy Spirit. Then you flip to the last chapter of the book. Revelation 22, 17, the fifth last verse. Says this, the Spirit, capital S, and the bride, which is the church, say, come. Come, Jesus. So the very beginning, before you were a twinkle in your great-grandpa's eye, the Holy Spirit was brooding over the water. And in the very end of everything, what's the Spirit saying? Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Let me tell you a prayer that the Holy Spirit will always answer. It's the title of my sermon, Holy Spirit, come. He will always answer that. He will always answer that. And the Holy Spirit, I promise you this, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not push you beyond what you're ready for. But like they say, C.S. Lewis said of Aslan, Is he safe? No. He's not safe, but he's good. The Holy Spirit will take you out of your zones where you feel comfortable and safe, but he will do it because he is a counselor, a comforter, a helper, also known as the advocate. Now, if I told you, I've got a friend who's a really good comforter, who's a really good helper, that will advocate for you, you would be like, yeah, sure, I'd love to meet that person. The problem is sometimes we've had fear of the Holy Spirit, so we say, no, thank you, I'm not interested in that. No, thank you, I don't want that. Or you listen to some bad theology that says the Holy Spirit isn't active today. The problem is the Bible never said that. Are you with me, church? The Bible never tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to cease in existence. Never. What happens? In fact, in Revelations, I just read, the Holy Spirit is there in the end. He's right there. He's in the beginning and the end. Church, we can't do anything of lasting value without the Holy Spirit. And every value that we have, living expectantly in faith and generosity, sending people on mission to share the gospel, living and ministering beyond ourselves, they are all built on the fact of the Holy Spirit baptizing us in his power and relying on his leading. Are you with me today? Come on, someone say amen. Amen. Say amen like you mean it. The clap. Come on, someone give me a clap. All right. All right. I will preach shorter if you start clapping because there's football games on today. Come on now. Yes, Sam, you're with that. We need to pray for our Seahawks. Come on. All right. Come on. Any Hawks fans? Hey, I got the mic, okay? No booze out there. Here's the interesting. Jesus said this, and you're going to remember this, Dan. He said, apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Okay. Apart from me, you can do what, Heather?
Nothing.
Andre, nothing. Apart from me, you can do. Do you notice that Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing? Then he departed. Hello? Apart from me, you can do nothing. And he departed. Here's what I want to talk about. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 3. I want to read a little bit about what John the Baptist said about Jesus. The book of Matthew is the account of Jesus from a Jewish perspective. A man named Matthew was he was taking notes on this, basically, is what he was doing. This is Cole's notes. John the Baptist, he comes into the picture. He was the forerunner to Jesus, the one who pointed to Jesus, and he said, I am baptizing people for repentance, to turn back to God. And he says this in Matthew 3, verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Some people get confused about what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. We're going to talk about what it is. We're going to talk about why we need it. Some people say, oh, I don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Huh. John's pretty sure that Jesus is going to bring it and that we need it. Here's what's so interesting. If you follow with me in the Bible, we're going to flip over to the book of Luke. And I want you to flip over to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke again, the Gospel of Luke, the story of Jesus as he walked on this earth. This is now from a bit different perspective, more what we'd call a Gentile perspective, not from a Jewish perspective. Luke 1, verse 41, context of this. This is where Mary has just heard that she's going to be pregnant with Jesus, and she hears her cousin Elizabeth is already pregnant. So they go, like you would, to meet up and connect. Here's what happens. Let's start at verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste. With what? Haste. Into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, now I have not had the privilege to ever know what that is like. But you know what? I have been there when all my children have started moving and shifting, and all of a sudden you see this little heel come up like this, and it's like, and God is doing something. The baby leaps, literally when they just hear the words of someone and there's a feeling of the Holy Spirit right at that moment. God is that powerful. Here's John, the one who's in the womb at this time. The mother is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just tell you this, just for context and history. In the Old Testament, before Jesus came, we saw that the Holy Spirit was with people, but he only came upon certain people for certain occasions, for certain tasks. Okay? In the New Testament, we see something totally different. We see that he is now in people. He's clearly with the world, leading them, convicting them of sin. But then something happens in Acts where the Holy Spirit now comes upon people in a whole new relationship. We hadn't seen that in the Old Testament. It's a bit different. He came upon certain people, certain times, certain tasks. But now he says, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. Everyone has a chance to get the Holy Spirit. Now, John is pointing to Jesus, saying, I baptize you with water, but the one who's coming, he is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, I don't know if you've ever known what the word baptize means, but baptize essentially means this. It means to immerse, dip, engulf, or plunge. That's kind of the four meanings of the word. Immerse, let's say that together. Immerse, dip, engulf, and plunge. Now, I got a couple pictures here. Can you just throw the first picture up there? There we go. That's some spicy dip right there. We're dipping. We're not yet engulfed. Okay, some of you have been praying and fasting all week. Okay, you're going to break your fast today. Okay, that's why I'm putting pictures of food up. This cracker chip is almost totally engulfed, about 50%. Anyone hungry? Spicy queso dip. Okay, next picture, please. Sorry if you're like a vegetarian. That is a wang. That thing is getting engulfed. Now, if it was me, I'd flip and dip again. You know the flip dip, right? Dip, flip, dip. Now, let's put the last one up because this is, come on now. Ooh, those nachos and queso. Now, did you notice that we went from like half dip to like two-thirds dip? Those nacho chips are getting baptized in queso right now. They are getting engulfed in queso. And then you will take them up and then you will dip them in queso again, maybe. Fully immersed. That's what it means to be baptized. In fact, when John was baptizing people, he was taking them into the River Jordan. Boom, they'd be baptized and they would come out. Sometimes when people have talked about the Holy Spirit, they come and they take a little bit of water and they're just like, we're just gonna, there you go. Bless you. Mm-mm. My wife told me don't do it. She doesn't even know what I'm talking about right now. I'll close up the water for y'all. Just for today. If you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, are you the cracker? Are you the wang? Chicken wang? Or are you the nachos? Nacho. Some of y'all are like, I am the chip by the spicy dip, but I'm not even in yet. I don't even know if I like that spice. I don't know. I saw someone dip in the spice once and it didn't go good. I saw someone dip in the spice and they raised their hands and worship. Oh my. I saw someone dip in the spice and then they spoke like, ka-ka-ka-pa-pa. I don't even know. You know what? I'll tell you this. We get a bit of good teaching. We kick the fear out. We welcome the Spirit of God. He's not a weird cousin. He's not that strange person that you had to call aunt and had that bold lipstick and she would kiss you and you like had to call her aunt and you know full well she wasn't your aunt. You know of what I speak. We do it to our children now. With Auntie Corey, Auntie Rachel, they know. They know. Here's what happens. Let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. We're going to continue on in chapter 3. Verse 16. This is where Jesus gets baptized. John says, I should prevent you. But Jesus says, let me do this. You baptize me. And when Jesus was baptized, dipped, immersed, engulfed, totally in the queso, or the Jordan, sorry, the Jordan, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove and resting upon him, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. You know what I love about the Holy Spirit? That God ties the word together so beautifully. The Spirit hovers in Genesis 1 and 2, like a bird hovers. After the flood, Noah sends out a dove. The dove finds no place to rest and comes back. Then the dove goes out again and finds a branch. But then what does the dove do in this case? Finds Jesus and rests on the very vine. Beautiful, powerful. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus will say this later. And then, like I said, he departs. Jesus is gone. He takes off. Church, we can do nothing of significant value. We can do nothing of lasting value without the Holy Spirit. I want you to follow with me back to the book of Luke, and I want you to turn with me to Luke 24. Now remember, John has said, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now we've seen Jesus be baptized in water and the Holy Spirit comes upon him. This is Jesus speaking at the end of his life. He has been crucified, buried. He is now risen again. He appears to his disciples. And in Luke 49, verse 48, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name, that's Jesus' name, to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. How many nations? All. Oh, you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. You've heard that phrase. We say, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. There's a video you're scrolling. It says, wait for it. Wait till the end. Jesus said, we are supposed to wait for the power. Before you do anything, wait for the power. Why? Jesus knew this was the pattern in his life. He did not do any miracles that we have recorded. He did not do anything of significant value. He did not do anything of lasting value before he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. Church, are you with me? He did not have any activity before he received the identity brought by the Father speaking over him and the Holy Spirit coming upon him. Are you with me? Sometimes we love to do the activity, but we disconnect it from our identity. So we end up doing a lot of stuff. We end up wasting a lot of time, but Jesus wants our activity to be firmly rooted in our identity. And the very same thing he said, wait, don't go. Let's flip over to the book of Acts, written by the same author, Luke, this second account of what Jesus was doing. In Acts 1 and 4, he says this, and while staying with them, he ordered them. He didn't just suggest, he ordered. He ordered, basically commanded them, do not depart Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Say that with me. Promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Church, it is God's plan and will to baptize every follower of Christ with the Holy Spirit. That's his plan. That's his will. You can't do anything of lasting value without the Holy Spirit. You might see little change. You might put in a lot of effort. But when the Holy Spirit empowers your effort, it turns into exponential impact because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Now, we're going to have a testimony in just a moment about what the power of the Holy Spirit did through prayer. But I want to give you my best description if we were to ask, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? This is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It is the divine empowerment for the mission of God, accompanied by the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. Let's put that up there. The divine empowerment for the mission of God, accompanied by the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. I don't mean you grew up with an artistic bent and you went to class and you learned how to be a better artist. That's not supernatural. That's a God-given intrinsic gift. I mean, there's gifts that are supernatural that come only by the power of the Spirit. Our next sermon series, what we're talking about, all those gifts for the next month. That's what we're talking about, the spiritual life. We're talking about all those gifts for the next month, how we receive them, what they do, what's their purpose, how do they transform us. The divine empowerment for the mission of God accompanied by the supernatural gift of the Spirit. How many of you feel like you need power in your life to even open your mouth to talk about Jesus? Come on, let's be honest. We do. Now, Sam, would you join me on stage? And Chris, would you grab that mic there? Would you welcome my friend Sam up to stage? Just flick that up there. We won't hold your jersey against you, okay?
All good, bro. All
God
good.
Even loves Ravens fans. He loves Seahawks fans. He loves Ravens
dude,
fans.
Dude, you know I'm a Cowboys fan all through and through.
I pray for you. Pray for you. Sam, tell us what happened. People were praying for you. Something was going on. Give us the Cole's notes.
All right. So the first one, I actually had another one I want to tell, which is falls underneath the values of everything, but I want to tell that one after. But so on December 12th, or it's January 12th, during that giant cold snap that we had, my leg and my hip decided to stop working. So I was in absolute agony. My hip flexor was completely seized. Mm. I couldn't walk. Like, it was absolutely painful. My wife was making fun of me because I was walking like a baby giraffe. But on January 15th, that morning, I had gone to physio to get IMS, try to see if it works. It helped for a couple hours, actually. That afternoon, I couldn't walk again.
Mm.
And I had just been to physio, had the needles in my hip and everything. And, you know, I was feeling good for a few hours, but that failed. And I was going to community group that night as we're walking up the pathway to Andrea and Gary's place. I was in so much pain. Going up the stairs, almost fall because I was in so much pain.
Wow.
As we go through the night, the community group was like, yo, let's be obedient to what God is doing, what is who God is. Let's pray. And they prayed. They surrounded me twice. And the second time, no word of a lie, our bass player this morning, John, wherever you are, dude, your hand was so on fire. Like, it was literally radiant of how hot it was. Now, I was skeptical at first. Andrew would be like, I'm like, the Protestants, we're crazy. But I wasn't skeptical in the regards of God's power because of what I've seen in the past and whatnot. But I was skeptical that God was, he didn't have time for, you know, a small healing like my hip. He had bigger concerns. I'm like, oh, God doesn't have time to heal me. Like, he's got bigger things. He's got cancer to fight. He's got children who don't have food to eat. But I'm so blessed that my community group was like, no, our God is good for everything that's anything. So, again, so that next morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, I get a text from Andrea, my wife, and they're like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I feel amazing. Like, I'm like ready. I'm hopping, I'm jumping, I'm running, I'm walking. There is no more pain in my hip.
Amen.
You know what I mean? That's how God good is. Now the second one, this one, Pastor Chris, this one falls underneath every value that we've had.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and this goes out to especially the youngins, the 20-year-olds that say, oh, prayer, you know, how long do I pray for? Whatever. 20 some odd years ago, a man that I had never met before. I'm in the gym doing my thing. And I always see this guy in the gym just grumpy as heck. And so every time I see him, I would pray. I would go into my parking lot into my car. I'd pray for this young man. I know that there's something. He's battling something, doing something. But I had never met him. Like, I know of him, and he has no clue who I am. Not a clue.
Right.
Praying for him. For probably a year. And then we're talking 20 years ago. So I'm 21, 19, between that age. So I'm like, you know, God, can you use me? Like, Holy Spirit. But I felt obedient to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Right? Like, I could feel it. Every time I'd finish my workout, I'd be like, the Holy Spirit's calling me to work out my prayer life now. Find out 20-something years ago, that man was Pastor Chris Boyko. And the day that I walked into that church, through those doors, I see him. And I'm in tears because here's the guy I was praying for when I was a kid, young teen. So never stop praying, people, because like I had lost touch with it. Like I stopped going to Fitness World, Wally. I had moved, but you know what? God used my prayers at that time, and God did his thing. The Holy Spirit moved, and there he is now.
Amen.
So.
That's good. Okay. You got my back in. Yeah. And in case you didn't know the story with Pastor Chris Boyko, 20 years ago, he was not close to Jesus. Jesus was very close to him, but he was not close to Jesus. In fact, he was pretty much doing everything he could to be away from Jesus and run away and run away and run away. But Jesus captured him. Do not underestimate your prayers, church. Do not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the divine empowerment for the mission with the supernatural gifts. The gifts of healing that happen supernatural like that, you can't manifest that. You can't make that happen. You can't believe enough. That is by the power of the Spirit that happens. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give glory to God one more time. Yeah, let's do that. Continuing on in our talk today. In the book of John, another gospel account of Jesus' life, John called the beloved disciple, chapter 16, verse 7, he recounts that Jesus says this, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." How many love when your good friends leave and move somewhere else? Oh, just, okay, you got it up there. Peace out. Jesus, this is what he said. Just a little bit too soon there, but that's okay. We can roll with that. You can take it down. How many of you love when a good friend moves away? Moves away. Oh. How many love it when someone close to you passes? No. I wonder what the disciples were feeling when Jesus says, "It's to your advantage that I go away. It's actually better for you that I go away." If I put myself in there, hearing that, I'd be like, no. We're just starting to get this thing. We kind of think we kind of know what's going on. It's like 2.5 years in. We kind of think we got it. It's better that I go. He pieces out. Remember, apart from me, you can do nothing, but then he departs. He's gone. Church, the reason why he said it's better that he would go away, he said this, "For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." What is one of the main purposes of Jesus' ascension? You read it in Acts 2. Is that he delivered to each and every one of us the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus didn't go, we would not have the empowerment for the Holy Spirit. Church, it is the Holy Spirit that allows you to have a connection with Jesus. This is the very thing we need. It is how we stay connected to Jesus. In fact, the Holy Spirit, by Jesus, he said these very things. And there's more to it, but we're just touching on it today. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will speak the things that he hears, and he will speak the word of Jesus. Second, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. So when you have the Holy Spirit working in and through you, he's not some weird force. He's not some strange action or activity. He's not a chakra. He's not an aura. He's not an energy ball. He is not just some sort of light. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is the one that Jesus says, "I have to leave so you can get him in all his fullness." This is what Jesus has for us, church. Come on, some of us, we need power to be witnesses. Man, you need supernatural wisdom. Some people need healing. Some people need prophetic words. Some people need to speak in other languages, as the Bible calls them, tongues. Church, I want to talk now. We talk about what it is, the divine empowerment for the mission of God, accompanied by the supernatural gifts. I want to talk about how we receive it. Here's how we receive it. You need to have good teaching. Some of you grew up in churches like me, Father, Son, Holy Scriptures. In fact, later, I went back into that denomination of church to lead worship when I was probably 19. And that church made us submit the song lyrics so they could approve them. No problem. We'll do that because we're just going to come in. And there was a song years ago, and one of the lines said, "I can feel you flowing through me." You remember that one? Yeah. "Holy Spirit." Yeah, okay. They made us change the lyrics to that song because they did not believe you could feel the Holy Spirit. They said, "You can sing, I know you are flowing through me." Because they had intellectual knowledge of the Spirit, but they did not have a sense that the Holy Spirit is there. When we get into this place, this gathering, this room, when you watch online and you're there and you sense there's something else in the room and it is powerful, that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. You've never experienced it. Sam talked about when John prayed for him, that there was warmth on his hand. I don't know why the Spirit of God does this, but in a number of times when we pray for people, there's warmth either coming from hands or from the part of the body we pray for. I don't know why he does that other than the fact, if you take all the divinity of God and you wrap it up and it goes right to someone's back or hip flexor, I think there's going to be a little bit of charge in that body, okay? That's why. We need good teaching. In Acts 19, Paul met the Ephesians, and they said, "We have not heard there was a Holy Spirit." So he told them about the Holy Spirit, and then he prayed for them. Number two, you need an openness and a surrender to God. You need to have your heart open to God. You need to, thirdly, pray for the Holy Spirit and be prayed for. And that includes people laying hands on you. Now, you might go, what is that even about? Like today, that's like an unwelcome touch. I don't want that. Here's the thing. The writer of Hebrews called the doctrine of laying on hands an elementary doctrine. Hello? That's an elementary doctrine. Now, what happens? J.I. Packer, love J.I. Packer. He said this, when someone lays hands on you, it is God that causes the impartation. You're not imparting anything. It's God using you as a vessel, a vehicle, and a conduit to allow the Holy Spirit to work through. Paul did this to Timothy. He said, the gifts that are put in you by the impartation or by the laying on of my hands. So we have to have good teaching. You have to have an open heart. And you have to be prayed for or pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to talk to you about a couple experiences I had as a kid. Again, I grew up in a church, Father, Son, Holy Scriptures. When I was 12 years old, I sat on the front row at a camp. In September, I was 12. Worship was happening. Preacher preached. We're just praying. And all of a sudden, I get hit with the ugly cry. And there is snot flowing. It's a camp. There's no altar workers coming to bring you just a little tissue. Be like, here you go. You're like pulling your shirt up and you're like, I wasn't sad. No crisis had happened to me. The girl I was crushing on didn't just tell me friend zone. What happened was the overwhelming love of God being poured onto me. And I didn't know what to do, so I just sat there and just wept. It was like, oh, what is this? This is the love of God. And you might think experience doesn't count. But it does when the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit does that very thing. In Romans 5:5, it says the Holy Spirit will pour the love of God into your hearts. What was happening? A fulfillment of Romans 5:5. I, as I opened my heart and heard about the Holy Spirit, I grew up, Father, Son, Holy Scriptures, didn't even know. My mom knew, but she was a little bit shy. She was like the chip of the half dip. She was not fully immersed. Wonderful woman. She's watching from heaven. But the Holy Spirit encountered me. And that scripture, Romans 5:5, the Holy Spirit was pouring his love into my heart. I was a mess. God messed me up, and he's continued to mess me up. 35 years later, I'm here. I'm a pastor. I'm preaching because I got messed up at 12. I already knew God. I already had confessed him as Lord and Savior. Number two, 14 years old at camp. I don't know what happened at camp. That's just the place it happened. Maybe churches weren't as open to the Holy Spirit in the Sunday mornings. I don't know. But someone started talking about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. Just like literally what we're talking about now. And they said, when he comes on you, he gives you power and he gives you gifts. One of the gifts he gives you, as we see in the book of Acts, is the ability to speak in other languages and to pray in other languages. So I said, okay. Holy Spirit was really good to me there. It lined up with the word. They're talking about this. Lines up with the word. I'm going to get some prayer. They prayed for me. Got smacked again. Did not hit the ground. That can happen. But all of a sudden, something in me is rising, and I don't know what it is. But then, like a ticker tape in my brain with my eyes closed, I see these words, and this is how it worked for me. It doesn't work for everyone like this. I saw these words, and the Lord released a personal prayer language into my life. And for 1 year, he told me, just pray that one phrase, pray that one phrase. Like, okay, I'll do that. I'll pray that one phrase. I'm like, I feel pretty stupid, like doing one phrase, like one phrase, one phrase. One phrase. But then I remember when we get to Revelation, we get holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. I'm okay. One phrase is okay. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Okay, I'll do it. 1 year later, he showed me what I've been praying. And 1 year later, he released the full encounter with that prayer language. And I was able to pray unfiltered in that spiritual language called tongues that is by the Holy Spirit. You can't make tongues up. It comes supernaturally. You can't make prophecy up. That's called divination. That is cheating. That's lying. That's not the Lord. Okay. Supernatural gifts. That's what happened to me. One other time I'll tell you, we used to use this phrase, being slain in the Holy Spirit. I think it's just the worst phrase because I just think of my ancestors, the Vikings coming, just it's a bad picture. We like to call it being overcome by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you feel just a little bit heavy. Sometimes you feel warmth. Sometimes you hit the floor. There's one time Sherry and I were in a prayer meeting, and the pastors in that prayer meeting were a little bit notorious for doing this when they pray for you. And I'm like, no, the Holy Spirit does not need anyone to push you over. Okay. So I'm like, Lord, I don't want no one to push me and pray for me. I'm fine. Don't push me. So they're like two people down from me. I think Sherry, you're on my right side, two people down from me. Then all of a sudden, I come back into consciousness. I'm on the floor. There are two people down from me. Hello? They didn't touch me. They didn't pray for me. The Lord just took me out. And I tell you this, when I've seen people hit the floor by being overcome by the Holy Spirit, they're never hurt. I prayed for Pastor Shem one time right here, and he just went down, and I tried to catch him. Pastor Shem's not a little guy. This floor, it's a little bit soft, but it's not soft. Boom. No problem. No hurt. The Holy Spirit wants to encounter you, and he also wants to deal with fear. But I'll tell you this, all of those experiences lined up with the Word of God. When I, 12 years old, felt that love and grace and acceptance poured on by the Holy Spirit. 14 years old, when I had the gift of tongues imparted into me, power and boldness in tongues came. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is working. Just bear with me. We're going to have some response in just a few moments. But I want to get into your head and heart a few things, and I got to dismantle some things first. So let me just say this. I'm going to give you four myths from Pastor Chris of the Holy Spirit. The first myth, you aren't saved if you don't speak in tongues or prophesy. Okay? This is a bit extreme, but people have said this for years. You're not saved if you don't speak in tongues or prophesy. That's a lie, because Ephesians 2:8 tells us that by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of your own doing, so that no one can boast. You do not work for your salvation. You receive the free gift. You respond in repentance and faith. Are you with me? If anyone's ever told you you're not saved because you don't speak in tongues or prophesy, say Ephesians 2:8. Look at the Word. Talk to the Word. Number two, you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you speak in tongues or prophesy. People have said this for years. In fact, many Pentecostals would look at Baptist brothers, Presbyterian brothers, Christian Reformed brothers, and they'd say, nope, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You know, speaking in tongues and prophesying. We have the Holy Spirit. You've got the Word, you've got the liturgy, you've got the tradition, but we got the Holy Spirit. That is a lie. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. You cannot become a child of God without the Holy Spirit. In fact, we already read it that Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, the helper, will teach you all the things of Jesus. As I said, Romans 5:5 tells us the Holy Spirit pours the love of God in our hearts. And Romans 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit, the one who dwells in you, gives you the ability to call God Abba or Father. The Holy Spirit comes into you at your salvation. I've seen many times when people get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit at the same time. But then many times I've seen it separate. Why? Because God has a different path for different people. The Ephesians in Acts 19, they knew God. They served God. They had been baptized by John, but they had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a different path for different people. But know this, that it is the will of God to baptize you in the Spirit. Don't let anyone tell you, because you don't speak in tongues or don't prophesy or don't have supernatural gifts, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, you are His. You follow Him, you profess Him as Lord, you are His. You with me? Here's my favorite one. Favorite myth. A professor, his name was Brian Glubish. He used to call it the evil ectomy. The evil ectomy. He used to say that there is no moment when God comes and just eliminates temptation and sin. Hello? Ready? Just listen to this. One of the myths is that the presence of the Holy Spirit will eliminate any temptation in your life and any propensity to sin. It's not true, actually. Because Jesus was tempted in all ways. And he had the Holy Spirit without measure. The myth of the evil ectomy does not work. You can come to the altar 17 times and you still might lust over someone. You can come to the altar 100 times and you'll still be tempted to drink. You might come to the altar 100 times. It is an ongoing work of you being made more Christ-like. Yes, the Holy Spirit comes in power. Many times there's deliverance, but it doesn't mean everything is gone, because we still live in a sin-soaked world and we are in the process of being saved. We are saved. We are being saved. It's called sanctification, and we will be fully made right in the presence of God. So church, if you're like, man, I don't have the Holy Spirit because I still struggle. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit without measure, and he was tempted by the enemy without sin. The last one, the last myth. The Holy Spirit only moves spontaneously. This is a Pentecostal one. The Holy Spirit only moves spontaneously. It's only the Holy Spirit when someone interrupts Margie when she's worship leading and they got a prophetic word. If the Spirit hovered over the water in Genesis, if he's there saying, Christ, come, he's active. And it says actually in Genesis, in Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. The Holy Spirit does work in spontaneous, but he also works in planning. In fact, the very first prophecy about Jesus coming is back in Genesis. The Holy Spirit was authoring those very things. The Holy Spirit does not just only work in spontaneous. And sometimes what we do as Pentecostals is we hold up the spontaneous, we say, ah, there's the real move of God. It was spontaneous. Let me tell you another story. How many are okay with stories? Pastor Rick, a page from your book. I'm not preaching now. This is story time. So discount that. I have a Baptist friend. How many people came from a Baptist background? Great people. Amen. Great people. He's a part of the church that I formerly pastored, where Pastor Rick was the leader. He was the son of a Baptist pastor. He came into the church as a young man, disciple to the Baptist church. He loved the church. But he said this, in the Baptist church, his experience was the Holy Spirit was a small h, small s. The Holy Spirit was not present in the life of the believers. In fact, he said there was a gap in faith. They weren't cessationists. They weren't in a MacArthur camp, but they said there was a gap in faith. The idea of ministry time where people would pray for you was totally foreign. In fact, the very first time that I called him and prayed for him on the phone, he had never had the experience of someone praying for him on the phone. Never. Like, that's normal. Like, that just should happen. Like, this is regular. Pray for someone. He didn't, in their church, talk about God's presence. In fact, they only knew and had an intellectual knowledge of God. And secondly, they knew what to put into practice for their faith. That was it. There was no feeling of the Holy Spirit. In his journey from starting to discover the power of the Holy Spirit, he moved from an intellectual, knowledge-based faith with no feeling to the place where he now understands and expects God's presence to move. He's a worship leader. He's the vice chair at the church I used to pastor with, Pastor Rick at, and he's had a significant transformation. So much so that he said to his lead pastor the other day, hey, remember when like the Holy Spirit used to just interrupt our services and we'd just do ministry in the middle of worship, or we'd have an altar call, or pastor used to have a prophetic word and there just something would just break out. We might not even preach, or we might get a little preach, but the Holy Spirit moved. He said, I think we're too safe now. This is the son of a Baptist saying to a veteran charismatic pastor, we're too safe now. Sometimes we can get that, but I just want to show you, for those of you who are like the chip above the dip, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's good, but he's not totally safe. He will push you out of your comfort zone. Here's what I want to talk about as I just come to land. Sometimes there's fear in our hearts. If I open my life up to the Holy Spirit, do I look wacky? Do I look crazy? What will God do? Will he send me to somewhere? Like, will he put me on that African mission team to Zimbabwe? Maybe he will. Praise God. It'd be awesome. 1 John 4:18 says this, perfect love casts out all fear. There's no fear in love. And if the Holy Spirit is in charge of pouring the love of Jesus into your heart, it's beautiful. It's perfect. So I want to just deal with fear right now. Just close your eyes if you would. And please, no one looking around. If you're watching this online, just close your eyes. If you're driving in a car, don't. Okay, everyone just close your eyes for a second. If you know you've struggled with fear of the Holy Spirit, I just want you to slip your hand just slowly up over your heart and say, I've struggled with fear of the Holy Spirit. We're going to release it to God. Because the enemy would love to hold you in that. And I remind you of this, the authoritative word for us says perfect love casts out all fear. So Lord, please reveal now your perfect love to each of my brothers and sisters, everyone here, everyone online, reveal it to them. And Lord, as Dr. Brown taught us, fear of Holy Spirit leave us. Peace of Christ fill us. Lord, we ask that every fear be gone right now in Jesus' name. Be surrendered to Jesus, the one who knows how to deal with fears and deals with lies. And Lord, we welcome your peace in this place. We welcome everything that you have for us in Jesus' name. Lord, people who've grown up watching charismatic circles that were too much and they pulled back, Lord, release them of that. People that grew up in cessationist teaching where they said there is no Holy Spirit, Lord, and they've been working so hard for you, but have not even heard the reward from the Spirit, the well done, the my beloved, Lord, speak to them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let fear be gone. Sometimes we fear what we don't know. You fear what you don't know. Just the other day, we took our kids downtown on the SkyTrain. Why? We want them to not fear the SkyTrain. It's easy to fear it. Just Google a story. You'll find it. We don't want them to fear it. We want them to have that experience. Sometimes we fear what we don't know, but I tell you this. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is a helper, an advocate, a comforter, and a counselor. And as I've said to you, he is not your strange cousin that you do not like. In fact, Jesus said, "Surely I am with you, even to the end of the age." And as he departed, he sent the Holy Spirit saying, "It's better that I go so I can send the Holy Spirit." Church, we cannot do anything of lasting value without the Holy Spirit. And you might be someone who has just dipped your toe in the power of the Spirit and you've said, "That's good enough for me." Today, I want you to ask, "Jesus, what would you want from me? Jesus, what would you want from me?" Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. And I ask you this question. Why would we want any less of what Jesus had in fullness? Church, are you with me? Why would I let anything, why would I settle for anything less other than what Jesus had? He's my target. He's my savior. Why would I settle for anything less? Church, let me tell you this. You might ask, "Well, why do I even need the Holy Spirit? This is all nice and good." If you want to make a difference in our world, you need the Holy Spirit. You can't do anything of lasting value without the Spirit. If you want to make a difference and a change in your life, if you've been struggling with sin or patterns or struggling to even read the Word of God, you need the Holy Spirit. If you want to make a difference or an impact upon someone else's life, friend, family member, coworker, student friend, you need the Holy Spirit. Church, here's what I want to do. I want to ask you if you would stand with me, please. Now, let me tell you this. Jesus is very okay with emotion. In fact, we see all the way from grief and weeping to righteous anger in the life of Jesus. He's very okay with it. But oftentimes in our Pentecostal charismatic circles, we have settled for emotionalism and we've said it was the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't need emotion to work. He doesn't need music to work. There was no kick and worship band when Lazarus rose from the grave. When Jesus came back, neither. Here's what I want to do. If you want to receive a fresh infilling of the Spirit, I just want you to come forward. Come forward. And just come up close so we can make room for everyone. Church, in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came upon people. Tongues of fire came upon them. They spoke in tongues. They prophesied. They preached powerful messages. Two chapters later, they prayed again for boldness. Church, I don't believe we leak the Holy Spirit, but I believe we need a continual encounter with him. We need to continue. It needs to be fresh. The second thing I'm going to ask you to come forward for, and this came actually, I had heard the Lord say this, but it came by prophetic word this morning. Someone told me Some of you are carrying burdens and you need to be set free and you don't know how. I know what the burden is. I have no idea what the burden is. But you're carrying it and you need to be set free. If that's you today, just be brave, be bold. Come on up front too. And you're thinking, oh, no, someone will see me walk forward. Yeah, there's a cost if you walk forward to be set free from something. But the freedom is worth it, church. So church, here's what we're going to do. And I told Margie, I want the worship team to receive as well. We're just going to posture ourselves to receive a new touch of the Holy Spirit, and then we'll sing. But I would just ask you, posture yourself however works for you. Maybe you're holding your hands out. Maybe you're reaching them up. Some of you might want to kneel. But Lord, we know that you answer the prayer, come Holy Spirit. So we ask you, just come now. Bring your presence, bring your power. Lord, I pray all fear be gone. Even memories of hurt by someone praying for people in inappropriate ways and telling them lies like they didn't have the Holy Spirit. We say, Lord, may all those things be gone and be lifted off right now. And we ask the Holy Spirit just flow from left to right, from front to back. Lord, come in your power. Come in your presence. Come now, fill us. And Lord, for those who have never encountered the baptism of the Spirit and there's a new filling today, we pray, Father God, they would be an open vessel for you to come in power and authority, for you to come in your goodness. You are the helper, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter. Come in all of who you are, Holy Spirit. Empower us divinely for the mission and accompany, Lord, with the supernatural move of your gifts. Lord, we pray a release of every spiritual gift that needs to be in and through each of these people, Father God. Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for miracles. We pray for gifts of faith. Lord, we pray for tongues and interpretation. We pray for prophetic. We pray for word of knowledge. We pray for word of wisdom. Lord, we pray for it all because it's all a part of the Holy Spirit equipping us for the mission of God and sending the gifts upon us. So Lord, loose tongues to speak prophetically, loose tongues to speak in tongues, loose minds to receive the word of knowledge that comes only by the Holy Spirit and pour it through your people today. Lord, we pray over all our worship teams, Lord, that they would be great vehicles and conduits of the Spirit of God. And as they stand here today, Lord Jesus, we pray you would move mightily upon them. And worship team, if you are able, just come and we're going to get you to sing. But if you want to stay in the presence of God, if you just want to stay there, totally fine. Come if you're able. And church, right now, Jesus said, we're to wait for the promise of the Father. We're literally doing the very thing that they did in Acts 1:14. They were gathered in one place and they're praying together. So Jesus, as we're in this moment, Lord, we pray we wouldn't cut short this moment of waiting. And prayer team and those who I've spoken to, I just release you now to just go pray for people. Just ask if you can lay hands on, but pray for people to receive a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Just begin to work in the crowd there and all the people and just begin to pray for them. If you're watching online right now, if you're watching this back, we pray the same presence of God come upon you. If you're watching this video in 2026, we pray the Holy Spirit come upon you. If you found some crazy archive in 2033 and this is still here, we pray the Holy Spirit come upon you. Empower you for the mission, accompany with the supernatural gifts. Lord, we say we want it all and we want more of you. Lord, there's never a time where I can see that it says we should stop desiring you. We should stop pursuing you. We should settle for something. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Churches, we're in the presence of God. Just call on him right now. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Oh, what would we do without you, Spirit of God? Oh, we can do nothing apart from you. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us up, Lord. Oh, fill us up, Lord. Come. Thank you, Jesus. Those who've come to the front for prayer, don't leave until someone's prayed over you. Don't leave until someone's laid hands on you for an encounter with the power of the Spirit of God. And for those who are in the congregation, I just encourage you, just stay and worship a bit with us. Stay and linger in the presence of God. Hear from Him. Ask Him for words of encouragement. Ask Him for words of direction. We're going to pray for you as the team leads us.
Thank you for listening to Hope Unveiled. If you're interested in learning more about what you heard today, or if you would like us to pray for something specific for you, we invite you to connect with us on our website, sunrise.ca.